Okay, today we're doing Maseches Yuma, and we are starting with the first perek, which, like other Maseches in Seder Moed, discusses what happens before the holiday, right? Pesachim begins with the laws of checking for chametz, which is before Pesach. Shabbos begins with the laws of carrying and lighting candles, which you have to be careful that whatever we're going to need during Shabbos is brought to that place. So carrying and lighting candles is preparation for Shabbos. Sukkah begins with building the sukkah. So to Yuma begins with the 7 days before Yom Kippur and the preparations of the Kohen Gadol. And a lot of this Masechta, the next two prakim, is dedicated to the general workings of the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis. Since Yom Kippur has some daily kabbanos that we also have to bring, some daily offerings, so how the Kohanim were chosen to make these offerings and certain other lots that were drawn in order to determine who does what, and the family members and how they would join these workings. That's actually in Maseches Sukkah and Maseches Tainis, but there's all these various obligations on a daily basis are found in these two prakim. The day's works started off with the washing of the hands and the feet, and then they would remove the deshen, they would remove the yesterday's ashes, in order to start the daily workings. It's sort of like what we do when we wake up. We have to wash our hands and then take care of, getting rid of yesterday's, whatever we ate. We have to get rid of it. And then we go about serving Hashem in our daily activities. The fourth parak is how the two goats were chosen for the main event of the Yom Kippur service. Was where one goat would be sent out into the desert to Azazel with all the sins of Israel placed on it. And the other goat was holy unto Hashem. It's an important Yom Kippur message that these two goats, which had very, very different destinies, were chosen by a lot. A lot is very capricious, which is what the Latin word for it, to be like a goat. A capri is a goat. So capricious is to be like a goat, which was turned directions very, very quickly and suddenly. And it's hard to gauge and to determine which way to go. So we make our claims to God that, God, I want another year, even though I may have messed up this year, but you know the human condition, you know how capricious life is, and I'm just asking for another chance. I may be here next year saying all the same things, I probably will be, but I'm trying, doing my best. And Kodesh Baruch Hu, in his infinite mercies, keeps giving people year after year after year. So that's the fourth parak, which is called Teref Pekalpi. And then the fifth parak talks about some of the activities of the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kodashim, in the Holy of Holies, which of course only takes place on Yom Kippur, some of the unique activities of Yom Kippur and the Seder Hayom. Whatever the Kohen Gadol is doing specifically for Yom Kippur has to be done with white garments. And the rest of the time he's wearing garments laden with gold. The Gemara says in the Maseches Rosh Hashanah that this is because we don't want the gold of the Egel, which was finally forgiven on the 10th of Tishrei, to be a reminder of the special Yom Kippur services. Now, there's a lot to talk about on this topic, dedicated for us, a shir unto itself, to be sure. But, there's gold in the Kodesh Kodashim. Why do we say sometimes that it's called Ein Kategor Nase Sanegor? A prosecutor doesn't become a defense attorney. So we want to make sure that we have some reminders of the Egel being forgiven, but some other reminders of the Egel we don't want to have taken it into the Beis HaMikdash, into the Kodesh Kodashim itself. Okay, so that's the fifth parak, talks about some of the activities specific to Yom Kippur. And then the sixth parak talks about the offerings and how they're brought up, how the goat that remains and the cow that the Kohen Gadol brings, how they serve as atonement on this special day, and how the blood is sprinkled on the various places where it's never sprinkled in other times, like between the wings of the Keruvim in the Kodesh Kodashim, and very rarely on the paroches, on the large curtain that separates the Kodesh Kedoshim from the rest of the Heichal, and some sprinkles on the inner mizbeach known as the incense altar. Okay, that's the sixth parak. The seventh parak talks about some of the activities beyond this on Yom Kippur, such as the reading of the Torah by the Kohen Gadol. Everything on Yom Kippur is done only by the Kohen Gadol. And then the eighth parak talks about the laws of Yom Kippur itself. The Kiddusha Sayom, the special sanctity of the day, in Yonim Pikuach Nefesh, if someone is sick and can't fast on Yom Kippur, and various additional atonements, and some of the most beautiful agadot in all of Shas about the human condition and repenting from the human condition. Of course, Maseches Rosh Hashanah has some of this as well, but the end of Yom Kippur, Maseches Yuma, is really your wonderful address about how we can make ourselves better, and that's the eighth parak. This is the very day, the 10th of Tishrei, that God finally forgave Moshe, told Moshe that he forgave Bnei Israel for making the Egel, the golden calf in the desert. So we always commemorate that first atonement with our a personal atonement for what we might have done this past year that needs to be forgiven. So it's just fascinating that originally it was supposed to be the Bechorim, the firstborn from every family, who was supposed to attend to this work. But as a result of every tribe engaging in the worship of the Egel, that only those who didn't worship, the tribe of Levi, should serve God in the temple, but in the sanctuary. It's interesting that the one who made the Egel, Aaron was the one who made it, should be the head of all of this. Surely that should have been a disqualification. He himself, in the beginning of next week's the Torah reading after Pesach, Shmini, he was a little shy about approaching the Mizbeach because he knew his role in the Egel. But Moshe says, no, Aaron, that's why God has chosen you. Because you had to make some very hard choices after they killed Aaron's nephew, Hur. And Aaron knew that if they kill me also, then everything will be terrible. Everything will be really very bad for them. So he was willing to forgo his own place for whatever that would mean in order to save the rest of Klal Yisrael. And that's why he gets to be there, to wear the choshen across his chest and to serve as an atonement for all of Bnei Yisrael. Okay, that closes out Maseches Yuma, Rachol B'Seder. We'll see you, Mir Tashem, next Tuesday morning. We will be doing at that point Maseches Sukkah, and on Thursday Maseches. There's different opinions as far as what the true order of Shas is, but the real Masechta after Sukkah should be Beitza. We'll see why that is. So next week, Mir Tashem, have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, everyone, and have a wonderful day. Bye bye.